The second annual Homesteading and Sustainable Lifestyles Expo is taking place this weekend, August 19th and 20th at the Orr Recreation and Resource Center in Orr. The 2017 Expo will feature exhibits and educational workshops about living sustainably. Lauren Adamczyk is one of the workshop presenters at this year's Expo. She and her husband Jim and her brother David operate a sustainable mini farm just outside Cook. It's called Majestic Muse Farm. Lauren, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
We love the name of your farm, Majestic Muse. Where did the name come from?
You know, oddly enough, the name came from our Great Dane, Penelope, and she had some life-threatening allergies to most food, actually. So we kind of changed our entire lifestyle for her, so we call her our muse.
You also call the farm a sustainable mini farm. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we produce about 90% of our food here, and we raise heritage livestock and heirloom vegetables. So with that, the farm itself kind of sustains itself in that we use open pollinated seeds so we can collect our own seeds to plant again year after year. And mini farm, is most people think you need, you know, 40 acres, 160 acres or more to be able to actually make a living farming or to be able to even produce your own food or food for others. So we're trying to change that a little bit and show people that you really can produce on small acreage.
How many acres do you have?
We have 11 acres here. We started with 3 1/3.
Oh, wow. And what is your land like?
Mostly wet, actually. We have about maybe between 5 and 7 dry acres here. So
a lot of northern Minnesota is a sponge.
Yeah, it is, definitely. But it does produce a nice filter around our property, you know, before things go into the watershed, and we don't use nitrogen fertilizers and things, but it is nice to have that filter for the watershed and to respect that.
What do you raise on your farm?
We have all heritage livestock, meaning it's all on the conservation list. It's all non-hybridized breeds. We have Nigerian dwarf goats. We raise Finn sheep, silver appleyard ducks, and Champagne d'Argent rabbits, which is a French meat rabbit.
Why did you settle on those particular kinds of animals?
Each one speaks to us in some way. The Nigerian dwarves produce the highest... the rooster wanted to say hello. The Nigerian dwarves produce the highest butterfat content and protein content milk, which means we get the most butter and cheese with a lot less milk. So where it would take probably 3 times the quantity of cow's milk to produce the same amount of butter and cheese.
So you make cheese and butter out of your milk?
Yeah, we produce all of our own dairy here. I'm actually intolerant of cow's milk myself, so that was kind of the starting point there to try to produce a dairy product that I could consume safely. And the goats provide that for us. We also milk the sheep, so they have a very similar profile to the Nigerian dwarves in protein and butter fat.
Now, some of the best cheeses in the world are made with sheep's milk. Do you make cheese and with that also?
Yeah, we do, and it's my favorite.
Now, a lot of people don't realize how good sheep's cheese is, but it's pretty special stuff.
Yeah, they have a very creamy kind of sweet milk, and I think that really carries over in the cheese.
Now, you are presenting 2 workshops at the Homesteading and Sustainable Lifestyles Expo, and one is titled Intro to Goats and Sheep, Dairy and Beyond, and the other is about raising rabbits for sustainable meat and fur. What are a few of the things that you plan to cover in your workshops?
We're going to talk about goals for people when they start looking at adding livestock to their homestead or to their farm or even just to their backyard, to consider what people want to produce, what they want to get out of the experience, and then to go from there in choosing a breed, in choosing your setup, or looking at what kind of resources you already have available to you. So rather than working against yourself, for example, sheep are much, much easier to fence than goats. So if you don't have a setup where you could easily provide a very tall fence and to be fixing a fence all the time, then maybe sheep would be a better choice for you to produce dairy and meat than goats, for example.
Yeah, I have heard that goats can really jump. They must be hard to keep in a fence.
Yeah, they can be. That's another reason we raised the dwarves, because they're a little shorter. They're more climbers, and they look for weakness in a fence, and if it's there, they'll find it.
What kind of fence do you have?
We use pallets a lot. Is there a resource we have available to us here? Otherwise, our goats stay in field fence fairly well.
And what about sheep? Are there predator problems raising sheep?
We have not encountered very many. We're very lucky that way. Our dogs do run the perimeter of our property to try to keep the coyotes away. That's a big one here. And then just having a shelter where you can keep them locked up at night if necessary. There are times when predators are a greater risk, and times during the year, and times when it's not so bad, and the summer's not quite as bad.
What do your animals need in the wintertime?
Each one needs something a little bit different. Rabbits are a lot more cold hardy than even the sheep, I would say. But the biggest thing is to keep them dry and to keep them out of the wind. So we provide insulated buildings for them. They don't need a lot. I guess I wouldn't say that they need a balmy home, but the biggest thing, or another thing, is keeping their water thawed.
We are talking to Lauren Adamczyk, one of the presenters for the Homesteading and Sustainable Lifestyles Expo in Orr this weekend, and one of the owners of Majestic Muse Farm in Cook. What do you recommend as essential for someone just getting started with sheep or goats?
I would definitely recommend finding a mentor. I think that's the one thing we didn't have when we moved up here, and one thing I wish we would have at the time, because you never know what's going to happen at what time, and having someone who's been there before is really helpful.
Would you say the same thing for rabbits?
Oh, absolutely. Any livestock, to have a mentor who's been there is definitely helpful.
How do you find a mentor?
If you reach out on social media, that's a great way. Otherwise, if you just kind of ask around in your area in different agricultural groups, maybe 4-H, just see who raises what and how long they've raised that animal.
How do we find good animals?
That is a really difficult thing to do. I say read and then read some more. And find out what you're looking for and what to watch out for, and then just be willing to wait until the right animal comes along.
And what are the personalities of goats and sheep and rabbits? How would you describe them as how they are?
I would say goats are very charismatic. I don't think you ever see a goat on a bad day, and they're not really cranky animals, where sheep can be very stubborn. And they're very kind animals. They're a lot, I guess if they could speak, I'd say they'd be very soft-spoken.
And rabbits?
Rabbits, I would say it depends on the breed. The Champagne d'Argents we raise are very quiet and very sweet. So it lends them to be good mothers and not get into too much mischief.
So I saw online that last weekend you got a new goat. Tell us about him.
We did. His name is Moon. He is from Whispering Meadows Farm here in Cook. He has some really nice milk lines out of a farm in the UP, and they no longer raise goats. So he's kind of an anomaly in that his lines are very difficult to find. But he is definitely a character.
In what way?
We say he loves to sing, because he still has kind of a high-pitched call, and when we walk away from his pasture, he calls to us, and he'll sing for, I don't know, about 15 minutes, wondering if maybe we'll come back to him, you know, with a treat or just to give him some attention. He loves people.
Oh, my gosh. Now, you said you raised 90% of your own food. Do you also sell your Majestic Muse Farm products somewhere else?
Yeah, we do. We'll be at the OAR Expo for Sustainability this weekend on the 19th and 20th. And then we can also be found at the Cook Farmers Market Saturdays, 8 to 1, and the Virginia Farmers Market, and that one's Thursdays, 1 to 5.
And what do you sell?
We bring a lot of produce. We have a few herbal salves that we sell. We make goat milk soap and goat milk lotion. We also have a natural bug spray that we use here on the farm, and it was actually a request for us to bring it to markets, and it's become one of our best sellers.
If people want to go to the Homesteading and Sustainable Lifestyles Expo, what should they expect there?
I would expect to take a lot of notes. We were there last year. I was able to take a few of the classes, and they're really fantastic. These people that present have a lot of knowledge, and there were a lot of things that we hadn't even considered.
So you learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Last year we learned how to put up a high tunnel, like a greenhouse
right
type thing, and we also learned about solar electric last year, and I know that there are going to be some solar presentations there this year as well.
Lauren, thanks for talking with us today. It's been really fun to visit with you.
Thank you.
That is Lauren Adamczyk. She's one of the presenters at this year's Homesteading and Sustainable Lifestyles Expo in OAR. The expo includes vendors, workshops, kids' activities, local food goodies, and keynotes on Simple Living by David Abbas and also by Jackie Clay, homesteading feature writer of Backwoods Home magazine. And if you want more information about the expo this weekend, visit orrcenter.com. That's spelled O-R-R. And you can also check the KAXC website later today to hear Lauren's interview and see some photos from Majestic Muse Farm.